Good morning. Affordable home ownership is one of the most effective economic development tools for stability and overall better quality of life. Home ownership offers tremendous benefit to our state, and it translates into significant positive impact on net worth, public safety, neighborhood stability, and vibrant communities. Home is where we make our memories, build our future, and feel a sense of security. According to the National Association of Realtors, children that live in a safe home excel in school and are more likely to participate in extracurricular activities, including living a healthy, more active lifestyle. Home ownership helps strengthen families and fosters volunteerism and civic engagement, all while reducing crime and vandalism. In addition, one job is created for every two homes sold in this country. Every home purchased pumps approximately $60,000 into the economy for furniture, home improvements, and other related items. With this in mind, our administration is encouraging home ownership with this morning's announcement. I'm pleased to turn it over to Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds to tell you more.
Well, good morning, and thank you, Governor Branstad. We recognize that Iowa mortgage lenders, realtors, and housing education counselors are the gateway to home ownership for Iowans, from application to finding the perfect home and learning more about becoming a full-time homeowner. These professionals are key to building Iowa's economy and providing stability for generations to come, which is why today we're proud to announce the innovative partnership between the Iowa Finance Authority, the Iowa Association of Realtors, the Iowa Home Ownership Education Project, and the Iowa Mortgage Association that will energize Iowans and foster pride in home ownership, and quite possibly provide us all with a few creative do-it-yourself ideas for around the house. I want to take this opportunity to commend the Iowa Finance Authority and its partners on this truly engaging, fun DIY initiative and encourage all Iowans to participate. We look forward to seeing the results of this contest, all the fun project ideas, that and Iowans taking pride in their greatest asset, their home. So best of luck. Turn it over to Dave Jameson.
Thank you, Governor, Lieutenant Governor. Good morning. The Iowa Finance Authority is proud to have played a role in helping nearly 60,000 Iowans achieve their dream of home ownership since the first home program began in 1977. Partnerships are at the core of how the Iowa Finance Authority advances our mission. Our success is a testament to the dedication shared by hundreds of hardworking housing partners, including lenders and realtors throughout the state. I encourage all Iowans who have aspirations for home ownership to visit iowafinanceauthority.gov to see what affordable mortgage and down payment assistance programs they might be eligible for, and to locate one of our over 400 participating lender locations throughout the state to move forward on their path to home ownership. We are excited to be here this morning and to partner with the Iowa Association of Realtors, the Iowa Home Ownership Education Project, and the Iowa Mortgage Association on this innovative contest. We call it The Meaning of Home Ownership Under Construction. This summer, these partners have joined forces to encourage all Iowa mortgage lenders, housing counselors, and realtors to ask their clients for their help in showing off Iowa's innovative and creative and fun do-it-yourself projects. Participants will be asked to write down a word or short phrase on a memo board. You'll see some examples over here. And that best describes home ownership, their home ownership project that they've recently tackled, and that they or they plan to tackle. The participating lender, counselor, or realtor will then take a picture and upload the photos to the Iowa Finance Authority website for inclusion in the statewide contest. Whether it's the addition of a backyard deck for summer barbecues, remodeling for a growing family, or another unique project you think might win, the Iowa Finance Authority and the Iowa Association of Realtors encourages Iowans to be creative and join the fun. The photos will be voted on by the public July 1 through July 12 at facebook.com/meaningofhomeownership. The entry with the most votes will receive a $2,500 gift card to a home improvement store. In addition, the lender and realtor with the most combined votes will each receive a $2,500 community betterment grant. Any Iowa lender, housing counselor, or real estate agent may sign up to participate and indeed is encouraged to do so by visiting iowafinanceauthority.gov/contest. And be sure to follow the competition on the partnership's The Meaning of Home Ownership Facebook page. On a final note, while we want to see everyone have fun with this contest, as Lieutenant Governor and the Governor pointed out, we also want to stress the importance of home ownership and the positive impact it has on Iowans, their families, and their communities. By using a fun contest, we hope to increase awareness of why Iowa is a great place to live and to own a home, and to arm potential home buyers with information they can use to make their home buying experience a long-term success story. And if the affordable mortgage and down payment programs that we offer at the Iowa Finance Authority can be part of that story, we would be proud to help. All of the contest information will be provided to contest participants and promoted throughout the summer. I'm eager to see the creative entries that Iowans will submit, and good luck to all. Thank you, and with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dave Burt with the Iowa Association of Realtors.
Thank you, Dave. Special thank you to Governor Branstad and Lieutenant Governor Reynolds for their continued support in homeownership in Iowa. Thank you to the Iowa Finance Authority and to Dave Jamison for providing the leadership in this innovative contest. It was a success last year, and we just are appreciative of being a partner again this year. The Iowa Association of Realtors represents approximately 6,200 plus realtor members who are professionals and follow a strict code of ethics. This year, that code of ethics is 100 years old. I just returned from Washington, D.C., where I had 65 Iowa realtors from across the state helping protect the American dream. We met with legislators to discuss housing issues, including preserving home ownership tax policies, restructuring Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and other issues. We do this because we know that home ownership matters, and it's vital to communities and to the economy. Home ownership, as the governor said, does create stability, strengthens families, and creates jobs. We're pleased to tell you that homeownership is alive and very well in the state of Iowa. Since January through the end of April, 95 homes have already been sold and closed. In April, the sales climbed approximately 6%, and the days on the market were reduced by 12 days. April marked the 14th consecutive month of year-over-year increases in sale prices. Homeownership is still the great American dream. We encourage Iowans to contact a local realtor to realize their homeownership dreams and to contact a local realtor, lender, or housing counselor to get involved in this exciting contest and share the homeownership improvement story with us. And with that, we thank you very much.
I want to thank the Iowa Finance Authority and also the Iowa Realtors for their cooperation with this. We'd be glad to respond to questions on this subject. Is exciting to see the growth that we're seeing in home sales, and I think it coincides with the economic development success we've had as well. So thank you very much. So we'd be glad to open it now for your questions on other subjects. Yes, sir. Well, I'll go here first.
Lieutenant Governor Reynolds, could you respond to these serious allegations of sexual harassment in the Senate Republican caucus? You served there, and the allegation was that this issue has been going on for a year or so.
I served in the Iowa Senate for 2 years, in 2009 and 2010. I don't currently serve in the Iowa Senate. I believe that we need to ensure that we have a safe and secure environment in which to work in. This is a legislative matter, and I have confidence that the Senate will address the situation in a timely manner.
Did you experience any evidence of things like this happening when you were there?
When I was in the Senate, there were 18 members in the Senate, in the Senate caucus. I was very involved and engaged in our caucus, working with the team, and I didn't experience any, no.
I think it should be investigated by the Senate. It's a separate branch of government, so I think they have the right procedures in place, and they should investigate and determine whether or not there's any, you know, whether these allegations are true or not. Well, they have their own procedures. They're a separate branch of government, so we're very careful about not trying to tell the legislature how to do their business. We have our own procedures. The Department of Administrative Services handles these things in the executive branch. But this is the legislative branch. So, again, I say it's up to the legislative branch to appropriately investigate this.
Are there policies in place? Are you satisfied with the policies in place in state government to address this issue of sexual harassment in state government?
We have had these policies in place for at least 30 years. Yeah, I think it's always appropriate to review and update them and to see that they're adequate. But we want to make sure that we have a safe and a good environment that's free from intimidation or harassment for all employees.
So they haven't been updated for 30 years?
No. We have had those policies for 30 years. I think they have been updated and changed over the years. But again, this is a separate branch of government. It's the legislative branch. If it were in the executive branch, it would be investigated by the Department of Administrative Services. Other questions? Well, my goal is to improve the health of Iowa citizens, not just expand the coverage. I think that's the concern. And so we want to make sure the policies address improving the health of Iowans. And we're Michael Bougelot has been working with them and is in touch with them and will continue to work with them and is very knowledgeable on this. We also recognize there's differences between the House and the Senate, and we are interested in working in good faith with them to try to work those out. We also want to protect the interests of Iowa taxpayers. And as you've seen, we're not alone. A lot of other states have same concerns. The federal government has not passed a budget in the last 4 years. They've been spending $1 trillion more than they're taking in. The big drivers in these huge deficits are the entitlement programs. And part of Obamacare was a massive cut in Medicare. Now, then along came the Supreme Court and said, now, wait a minute. You can't force the states to expand Medicaid. And different states are looking at what are the best alternatives to provide a system that best meets the needs of their citizens. That's what my goal is. We're willing to continue to work with them on this, and we'll continue to do so. No, I think we require legislative approval, and it will require a waiver from HHS. But I would point out welfare reform was a similar situation back in the 90s. It was complicated. It was difficult. There were a lot of people stuck in the old AFDC system. Iowa was one of the first states to get a waiver and to do significant welfare reform, as did Wisconsin, Michigan, and other states. We were so successful, we were able to convince the Congress and eventually President Clinton to sign welfare reform. The result of that was we helped move a lot of people from welfare to work, providing assistance with child care and with the job training, and reduced the welfare rolls, therefore reducing the Medicaid rolls, and kept the cost of Medicaid down to less than 12% of the state budget. I came back 12 years later, and it's now 400,000 instead of 250,000 people on Medicaid. The costs are now approaching 18% of the budget, and the health care, the health outcomes have not improved. We have embarked on a goal to be the healthiest state in the nation, and that's why we've developed a healthy Iowa plan designed to be consistent with that, to get people to take ownership of their own health, and the state to partner with them to provide health care coverage for people. We are moving forward with the paperwork and the public hearings to request the waiver. And we're very hopeful in the end of the day. And I'm told, yes, we like the Healthy Iowa plan, and we just want you to take the federal dollars. If indeed that's true, but I think we also have some people that don't think that we should go down that route unless we get an assurance that the federal government, when they do cut back the dollars, that the state will not get stuck with something that's not affordable or sustainable.
So you would take
federal
dollars
if the plan looks more? Well, no. What I've said is that is one of the things that we're willing to consider, provided there's assurance that if the federal dollars are reduced, the Iowa taxpayers don't get stuck. And that is because Medicaid has what they call a maintenance effort requirement, and it is a basically a Cadillac program where the recipient doesn't have to make any contribution. That has not improved health for people, and we want to try to help people improve their health, and we also want to encourage things like health risk assessments and wellness programs that will indeed improve people's health. Right, and we've gotten every indication from Secretary Sebelius that, what, in fact, even a letter to Democratic senators who don't like our plan, she basically said that these are things that could be approved by HHS. So, and we've been working very much in collaboration with them on the exchanges, on the partnership exchanges, and we intend to work in collaboration with them on this, and we are moving forward with the preparations for the waiver, and we're very hopeful it can get worked out.
There are many Republicans in the House who don't want to do anything. They are so opposed to Obamacare,
right,
that they don't want the state to do anything. What's your message to them?
Well, that's the challenge that we have, is we've got the Senate wants to buy Obamacare lock, stock, and barrel, and we've got the House that doesn't want to do anything. And we have a plan, a Healthy Iowa plan, that we think is a reasonable middle ground and one that will improve the health of Iowans, will extend coverage, and also avoids sticking us with something that we think is unaffordable and unsustainable. And obviously, if we're going to get a compromise, we need, and Michael has been working on this for some time, and we're going to continue to talk to both House and Senate members about this. And nobody, you know, it's just like the other things that we've worked on. If we're going to get something resolved, nobody's going to get their way totally. The Property Tax Conference Committee report, I think, is a good example of a true compromise. It's permanent property tax relief that we think is important, but it has elements of what Senate Democrats want. It has elements that House Republicans want, and this is how you get things accomplished. We're very hopeful that will be approved here quickly. We also have been working for the last 3 years on reforming the education system to improve student achievement. And as you, I'm sure, read in the Des Moines Register over the weekend, other states have moved ahead dramatically over the last 20 years with accountability, and their student achievement has gone up. We need to make sure that we have the accountability that's in the House bill, that's very in the most recent compromise proposal that the House has offered.
Governor, in relation to the property tax thing, one of the things that we're hearing now is that as some of the local governments are looking at this, they're expressing serious concern about long-term losses of money. I heard over the weekend that the city of Clive said over 10 years they're going to lose $7 million or something. Can you just respond to that?
Yes. That is inaccurate information. We have assured local governments they will not lose money. They're going to gain substantially. Every dollar that in our plan that is reduced in commercial industrial property tax is replaced with state dollars to the tune of almost $400 million over the next 4 years. In addition to that, they, in the compromise plan, get a 3% increase in residential valuation, plus they get all the new commercial and industrial property. So they're going to gain substantially. They're going to see a significant gain, especially as the economy comes back and we have more homes built and we have more commercial businesses. As we reduce the tax burden and businesses feel confident to invest in and add more commercial property, they're going to see substantial gain. So this information being put out by the League of Cities is just flat out inaccurate and inappropriate. They are going to be substantial gainers, and as all you have to do is look at what's happened in the past, but also in our bill, we fully fund the reduction in the commercial property tax. Well, we'll see. What is the art of the possible?
And our just to be clear on the Healthy Iowa, would be willing to consider accepting the 100% federal match if the plan had provisions like Healthy Iowa and also you were able to change
No. it? We're not going to try to negotiate here at this press conference. The point is, our goal is to improve the health of all Iowans. And we've been working on this for a couple of years. Our Healthy Iowa plan is consistent with doing that. And we're willing to look at the different options and ideas that members of the House and Senate have. But obviously, to get something accomplished, we need to be able to get a majority in both houses.
But you're willing to consider taking federal dollars?
I think I've told you that we want to make sure we protect the taxpayers of Iowa against the uncertainty of the federal government. They're spending $1 trillion a year more than they've been taking in for the last 4 years. They have not passed a budget in the last 4 years. We think this is unaffordable and unsustainable, and we're not the only state that feels that way. I think there are many other states that are looking at other options and alternatives because of the same concerns that they have. And the states have actually looked at some pretty innovative approaches, and we think that ours is one that makes sense for Iowa, just as other governors have looked at what makes sense in their states. And some of the states where the governors decided to cave in to the expansion, their legislatures turned it down. Florida is an example of that. So I think we've got to be very careful and very thoughtful and keep in mind the net result here needs to be not just to have more people dependent on government, but to improve the health of the people of our state. I guess I'm not negotiating here at this press conference. I am indicating my willingness to work with the legislature, but work with both houses of the legislature, recognizing there are big differences between the House and the Senate. And I recognize the only way something happens is if both houses agree and pass it by a constitutional majority. My goal, my interest, is to improve the health of Iowans. And we put together a plan that we think does that.
Do you still believe this session can be completed in May?
Yes. We're still in May. And the legislature's in session. They need to get serious. And hopefully we're going to see property tax relief here approved in the next couple of days. The Conference Committee report has already been signed. It's unamendable. So that's close. We need to get the education reform. And obviously, there's a number of budget issues that need to be worked out. We want to make sure that we have a biennial budget that is sustainable for the long term so that Iowa continues to be in the strong financial condition it is today because of the tough decisions we've made in the last 2 years.
Legislative leaders say that they're in a standstill on education reform from both conference committees. When are you going to take a more personal role in this? This is your top priority.
Well, we have been actively engaged in this all along. Linda Fandel and Jason Glass and the whole Department of Ed staff have been working very diligently, and Adam Gregg has also been working with them very closely. We think we're very close, and yet, you know, accountability is key to this. We can't just throw more money at it. That's what's been done for the last 20 years, and you see the result is student achievement in Iowa has had the least progress of all the states. Other states that put in place standards and accountability and assessments have moved ahead of us substantially. Those are the kind of things that we've recommended. And we've also recommended a whole new opportunity for teacher leadership and taking on more work and more responsibility as leaders and mentors and co-teachers and coaches, and also we think this is the direction that we need to go. We recognize it's not going to happen overnight. Our plan is like a 5-year plan, but it will put us in a new direction that will turn around this abysmal record of student achievement that we've seen for the last two decades. I have been, I started by calling the first of all, let's go back to the inauguration when I was inaugurated governor, and I'm going to lay this all out to you. I talked about how I want to restore Iowa to best in the nation in education. The next thing we did is we put together an education summit. We invited Arne Duncan to be the keynote speaker. We had many other people. We had 1,600 people attend that. We have been engaged and involved in this. The Lieutenant Governor and I have held town hall meeting after town hall meeting all across the state. Nobody could be more actively, directly engaged in this. I'm actually working with my friend and former governor from North Carolina, Governor Hunt, and the National Governors Association for a meeting. I think, is it next month, Linda? June 10th and 11th. That I'm co-hosting. So I am actively engaged. I really believe in this. The Lieutenant Governor has headed up our STEM efforts along with Ben Allen. We feel very strongly this needs to happen. It's disappointing the legislature has been so reluctant to change and to take on bold reforms. They watered down what we tried to get done last year. And again, the Senate Democrats have been very reluctant on this, but it's not just more money. That has not gotten us the results we want. We need to also have the accountability. And we have gotten the endorsement now of pretty much all the business community, the school board association, the school administrators. It makes sense. It should be done. The conference committee needs to move. I think the latest offer that the House has made is very much something we can live with and that will move us forward. And it's important for the conference committee to approve it and move ahead.
Clay, what's the final question?
You've got a trip to Vicksburg later. Can you talk a little bit about what you'll be doing?
We're going to be celebrating the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Vicksburg. Many Iowans died at Vicksburg, Mississippi. That was a very key turning point in the Great Civil War, 150 years ago. It happened almost at the same time as Gettysburg was happening in the East. And this, up to that time, it looked like the Confederacy could win that war. It turned it around, and it led to the Union victory and to the preservation of our nation as one nation. I think that's so important. It's a significant thing to honor and recognize the huge sacrifice that was made and all the people that died there, and especially the role that Iowans played in that. We anticipate there are going to be thousands of people there. It's an opportunity for us to show the reconciliation. My friend Haley Barber will be there representing the state of Mississippi, that we are one country, that this was a tragic era of American history, but the result was the Union was preserved, and America is what it is today. And we're proud. And we're appreciative of all the sacrifice that Iowans made, not only in the Civil War, but in all the wars throughout our nation's history. And this is a chance for us to show our appreciation and respect, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a wonderful event.
Thank you, Governor.
I didn't have any relatives. My relatives were still in Norway at that time.
Thanks, everybody.
I had a bunch of relatives that died in the snowslide in an avalanche in Norway in 1859. So, thank you.